This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Do you feel blessed today? I feel so blessed today. And you know, we are to be a blessing to people when we come in contact with them. And I'm just going to encourage each one of you right now, during this day and during every day when you wake up, just say to God, God, make me a blessing to someone today. Just make me a blessing to someone today. And he'll show you the way. He'll show you the person that you need to be a blessing. And you'll be amazed that you won't just be one blessing. You'll be multitude of blessings to multitude of people if you have the mindset that you want to be a blessing. We're called to be servants. Are you a servant? If you're a servant, you look for opportunities to serve. So are you serving? Today we're going to talk about the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. Are you a leader? You might not think you are, but you are. Being a leader, we're all affecting people just by our facial expressions, by our actions, by our words. And so we're all leaders to some degree. So I'm going over the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And I've already gone through the first six. So if you didn't catch it, what you can do is you can listen to the show via podcast on Sue Freeze, one word, spelt like fries, .com. And you can go on there and you can hear the entire thing. And also, I welcome and encourage you to share these podcasts with other people that you might think could glean some knowledge, some help for whatever life is bringing their way. So continuing on, we all have life experiences. And part of this show is about experiencing sharing our experiences with other people. Because when we do that, when we don't close up and not let people in, but when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, when we allow ourselves to be transparent, what happens is that you open a door for others to receive maybe some hope, some knowledge of how something they might be going through that you're not even aware of even. But something they're going through, that something you say or the way you say it is going to trigger something in them. The Holy Spirit might grab a hold and change this person. This person could be changed because of you opening up and serving another person. And isn't that what we're called to do? We're called to love one another and we're called to help and serve one another. And if you ask God to guide you in that and ask God to show you who needs your help. When you go into church or when you go and sit down somewhere, just ask God to seat you. Don't seat in that normal seat. Don't seat where you're comfortable. Get a little uncomfortable. It's fun to get a little uncomfortable. Let God be the guide. Give Jesus the wheel. Let him tell you where to sit. And when you sit, you're going to be amazed at what happens because you can sit with expectation to receive what God has for you, but also what you can give. Because the true joy comes from giving, not receiving. I don't know about you, but if you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, boy, are you going to be excited when you do experience that. So I've gone through 1 through 6, and now we're going to start with 7. And 7 is the law of respect. And what we're talking about is leadership. And don't turn the dial because you don't think you're a leader. Because you know what? Each one of us, even you, are a leader. Because somebody is watching you and watching how you handle things, watching how you speak, watching your body language. And you are making a difference to this person or these people, whether you like it or not. So understand that you are a leader, and we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. So you are a leader. And the law of respect is this. I'm going to read what John Maxwell has here. No matter what your circumstances, you can increase your leadership potential. There are many stories of leaders of humble circumstances being followed by high-level people because of their leadership collateral. This is no random accident. It is due to leadership. Leaders in the ranks seek out a leader to follow. Even leaders need leaders. Jesus needed God. Strong leadership is a tractor beam for leaders under you in your organization. Weak leadership causes strong leaders to seek leadership elsewhere. Ever wonder where your best leaders went? They may not be candid when they leave, but chances are they left to find a stronger leader. Ouch, that could hurt some of us just thinking about that. But you know what? That's okay. By understanding that gives us reason and gives us a chance to get better at being a better leader, a stronger leader. You have to know what it takes to be a strong leader, and that's what we're talking about. We can keep stronger leaders if we invest in our leadership growth and avoid damaging our equity by failing to exhibit character when it really counts. You know, some people in my business at Ecola, they come in and they'll get a title. And they think the title demands respect. And what I find from people is they really want to have a leader. They really want to follow. But they need to be respected too. So there's a mutual respect, and it's how we treat people. And if you don't have a relationship and you don't understand each individual person, you need to learn about each individual person, and that takes a little time. In the process, yes, we are to respect authority, but you can lose it if you don't treat it with respect. So what this is saying, and what I read here for the law of respect is that to be respected, you need to be respectful. And also, to be a leader that someone wants to follow, it's someone that has character, that people see something in you that's different. They see something where, wow, I want to learn more about that person, or I want to learn more about how they come up with their thought process. Biblical principles to live by, to work by. And I find that that's very helpful. In business and at home. You know, husbands, you know, you're called to be the leader. And to be a strong leader, you need to get help sometimes. You need to get guidance. And the Bible is the rule book for life. It is the game book. Whenever you're playing a game, you need to have the rules so you know how to play the game. And the rule book for life is the Bible. And it does give you keys on how to be that leader and how to be respectful and respected. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we are discussing the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. The law of respect is to be respectful and to learn how to be a bigger and better leader. A lot of that has to do with being a servant. Wasn't Jesus a servant? And he was a leader, but he led by serving, didn't he? Number 8 is the law of intuition. This is interesting. A good leader has good intuition. Now, they say that women have intuition, that men lack this. I don't agree. What I've seen in the business world, because I deal with a lot of men, is that men want to be hunters and they want to be conquerors. And sometimes they don't listen to that inner voice as much as maybe they need to. So a good leader has good intuition, good instincts, keep a leader out of trouble. Great leaders see what others cannot, around corners. They can make changes or take steps with little warning or evidence. The best kind of intuition is informed intuition, and this is in bold because that is so true. A leader's intuition can lead him to failure as well as success. So information and experience are priceless in this regard. A leader armed with intuition and information will be a great decision maker, both agile and confident. Now again, remember, this could be a husband, it could be a ministry, it could be the president or CEO, CFO of a company. Wherever your role is, it's important to be informed. I always say I don't like surprises, and I like to be informed because it's hard to make a good decision. In my company, when a person comes to me with an issue, I always say there's three sides to every story. And it's important for me as the leader to gather as much information as I can in order to make an educated decision. So, and intuition is, what does your heart say? What does your gut say? And a lot of times there's these very difficult decisions. And, you know, a lot of the times when you're a leader, you have to make a prompt decision. Something is urgent, or you have to make a decision on the cuff. But then there's other times where you don't need to do that. So I encourage you to take the time to take a breath, to get as much information as you possibly can before you say anything, and pray on it. You know, let it go overnight. A good leader leads with leadership bias. He sees things through the lens of a leader. He reads the situation. It says he here, he or she. You either naturally see it, or you can be nurtured to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. Sometimes a leader may have good information and bad intuition. This will lead him or her to danger. Others have good intuition and bad information. This will cause him or her to under or overestimate a situation. But good intuition and good information will certainly lead to success one decision at a time. Always back up the way you feel with objectivity and then go with your gut. That's such good advice. And our experiences, we pull on them. You know, what you've gone through in your life, difficult decisions you made in the past and how they turned out. You know, did you lack asking one question? Did you lack thinking about it or praying about it before you made a decision? As a man, you know, part of this is, you know, submitting one to another and asking your significant other their opinion, whether it's a husband or a wife to the other. It's important that we ask the questions to get information that's going to help make the best decision for everybody involved. It's a big responsibility, and people in leadership should not take that lightly, but it's very important to be informed. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Number 9 is the law of magnetism. You don't attract the leaders you want. You attract the leader you are. Isn't that an interesting thing? When you feel compelled to complain about the leaders under you, think again. Perhaps your leadership needs shoring as well. Beware also of the one-sided teams. Staff to your weaknesses so you can remain in your strengths. Make sure your team has plenty of variety and people who can express their differing views without fear. It's very important for people to feel like what they have to say matters. So as a leader, you need to welcome that. And part of that is being transparent and vulnerable yourself to open that door to where, you know, like I say, no question is a bad question, except for the one you don't ask. I learned that, I think, in the second grade with a second grade teacher, maybe fourth grade. But isn't that the truth? You know, it's the question that's not asked that could cause the problem. So another thing I've realized in my working world is, and my personal life, and I don't know about you, ask yourself this question, is when someone irritates you, if something somebody does irritates you or really gets underneath your skin, ask yourself if you could possibly have that same trait. And if you do, you need to get the log out of your own eye and not worry about the speck in the other person's eye. Focus on you. Look at the person in the mirror and work on what you can work on. Because you cannot fix another person until you work on yourself. So start with you first. Regardless of where you are in life, start with you first. And magnetism is just being humbled. Have a humble spirit. Be teachable. It's so important. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. You can stream on kkla.com, click on Listen Live, or you can go to Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can listen to our podcasts and share the podcast and go on there and get on my email list, because I have things to offer there on helping hands and videos and all kinds of things. We're also simulcasted in Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, and San Diego. Isn't that amazing? So exciting. We're still on the law of magnetism. If you have strong leadership characteristics, you will attract people with strong leadership characteristics. The author told the story of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, Tom Landry and Roger Staubach, combined to exhibit so much leadership that the team was unstoppable. The ranks of the Cowboys were full of followers with great character. But once Jerry Jones took over, he appointed Barry Switzer to lead the team. The story includes arrests of teammates and even the coach for attempting to carry a handgun on a plane. So it trickles downhill. Jerry Jones, the Maverick, who is known for going outside the acceptable rules and guidelines, has a team of players who follow suit. If you want strong players with great character, be a strong example. Number 10, the law of connection. A leader touches a heart before he asks for a hand. I love that. You cannot lead people who don't connect with you. Once a leader has a trust connection with his followers, they will do almost anything for him or her. Until that connection is made, followers will balk. Consider the Dole-Clinton presidential campaign. Bob Dole was uninspiring, dull, and cold. I'm reading this from John Maxwell's book. By contrast, Bill Clinton appeared on Arsenio wearing sunglasses and played the saxophone for the nation to see. He appeared to be warm and normal, like us. A long time later, Bob Dole appeared on Saturday Night Live in humorous commercials after he had lost the campaign. He finally let his hair down some and people saw the person inside. Too late. Bill Clinton had won the battle of connection. The leader should always, in bold, use MBWA or W4C, management by wandering around or walk the four corners, as a tool to become more aware of employees and their problems. It allows them to connect with you. Once connected, they will follow you much more readily. At Southwest Airlines, Herb Keller set the tone and culture by connecting with the team, giving them all the impression he knew them personally. I have stories to tell about this. I went to Long Beach State, where my daughter was going to attend, and she did attend college. And the president there at the time had been there for quite a while. And he made such a point, I don't remember the population, the enrollment of that school, but it was huge. But he made such a point to say to each student, he said this, he said, if you see me walking down the hall, which means he did walk down the halls, every day he did, and you say hi to me, don't be upset if I ask you your name after the first time I ask you, because I want to know your name. And he'd look the kids in the eyes and say, now what was your name? And then the students at the end of the year would comment about him knowing their name and how important that name and him knowing their name was. So it's really important to walk the four corners. My company, when I first purchased it quite a while ago, Jack Forster, the president and owner of the company, he said to me, he said, right now you're in a separate building than all of your staff because we have a call center and there's numerous people in the call center and everybody comes through there to get their paperwork and to answer phones. And he said, one thing you need to do, besides everything else you do, is four times a day you have to get out of your desk, get out of this building, go into the next building, and walk through the building. And you need to say hi to people. You need to make contact with people, ask them how their day is, ask them what's going on, see if there's anything you can do to help them. And when you do that, you're going to connect with your people. And I listened to him, and I have done that ever since. And I have to tell you, it has made a world of difference for me. So what that's saying is, let's say you're not a president of a company. Let's say you're in ministry. What did I just say? What does the book say? It's saying to connect with the people that you're working with. Connect with the people that you want to have relationship with. It's difficult to do, but whether you text, you can make connection via text, via phone call, via email, or my favorite is face-to-face. But making that connection on a daily basis is imperative to leadership, imperative to making a difference to the people that you care about and that you want to influence. So take the time, even though there were times where I'm like, oh, I have so much to do. I don't want to get up. I don't want to walk over there. I knew by doing so, I learned so much and they felt that I cared because I did. And so that's really, truly important. Our children, same thing. We need to make connection with our children daily. I was told a long time ago when I went to a parent-child class that it's important to not only make verbal contact, but to make skin contact with your kids. Now, that sounds funny, but your kids need to have their hand held, a hug, a rub on their back, touching their toes, touching their hair. They need skin contact every day. There's premature babies in hospitals, and it's been proven that those that have been touched in those incubators have a much greater success rate of living than those that don't get handled. So take that for what it's worth. Have that contact with your children. And you know what? No matter what age we are all children. We're God's children. And we all need to be connected. Connection is probably my favorite word. It's just to be connected. And that means something different to each individual person. It's just like the love languages. You know, there's different languages that get spoken. And you need to learn what the languages are with the people that you're involved with. And that's a video, shameless commercial. You can go to Sue Free, spelled like fries.com, and watch the video where I'm on a unicycle. And it talks about the love languages. And that has helped more people. I've gotten more response on that one video than almost anything else that I've done in the 2 years I've been doing this show. So help yourself to that video. It's really informative. But with that, quality time, touching, talking, very important to have that connection. So make that connection with those that you care about. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. The next one we're going to get into is number 11, and it's the law of the inner circle. Every leader's potential is affected by the people he keeps closest. When you have the right staff and team, your potential skyrockets. There is no such thing as a great leader who is a lone ranger. Ronald Reagan surrounded himself with the best leaders and advisors available. In order to gain the best payback for your investment in your company, first invest your inner circle team. Use the 80-20 rule. Your investment in your team will create 80% of the results. You want to see? Grow their leadership and you will grow your success. In order to gain the best payback for your investment in your company, first invest in your inner circle team. Use the 80-20 rule. Your investment in your team will create 80% of the results you want to see. Grow their leadership and you will grow your success. Never stop improving your inner circle. With my company, I have multiple employees. I have, like, I think 54 right now at Acola. And there are, every 2 weeks we have payroll. And every 2 weeks, I look at every single person. I look at how long they've been there. I look at when their last raise was. I look at how much they're making. And I look at attendance. I look at the things that matter. Who's invested, who's put time in, who's come and talked to me, you know, these things. And there's individuals, I put a star next to their name. And these stars are my inner circle. It's the people that I hold dearest. And the reason is because they hold me dear. And they care about the company, and that is shown by their actions. So those are the people that I invest in the most. So it's important that you know who those people are. Same thing goes here with, you know, your children or whatnot is, you know, you are known by those you hang with, and you will become those that you hang with. So I always told my children, choose your friends, don't let them choose you. And that goes for all of us, doesn't it? Put the people around you that you want to become like, that you want to emulate. Those are the ones that you want to hang with because you will become more like them. It's like birds when they fly together. Birds of a feather flock together. My mom used to say that. So I just want to say now, before we go any further, it's important that you understand that you have influence and that what you do with that matters. Be vulnerable. Say you're sorry. Ask people for how you can improve. So we will be right back with more of the Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E. coli gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new E. coli heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E. coli termite and pest control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call E. coli at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back from the break, and if you're just tuning in, I just want to let you know that we're having a really filled show this time, because we're talking about some really important things. And being a leader, we're all affecting people just by our facial expressions, by our actions, by our words. And so we're all leaders to some degree. You might not think you are, but you are. You're a leader because people are following. They're watching you. They're watching what you do. They're watching what you say. They're watching your body language. They're watching how you dress. They're watching how you drive. Those that are driving, there's somebody in the car with you. They're watching how you drive. Are you wearing your seatbelt? I certainly hope so. Anyway, what we're talking about today is The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And before today, we have gone through 1 through 11. And if you've missed that and you like what you hear today, I just want to tell you that that's okay, because you can go to SueFreeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can click on the podcasts for specific dates or by title and find the podcast. And if you hear something today that strikes you that you'd like to share, please let people know about the show, the Sue Freeze Show. And also let them know about SueFreeze.com so that they can go on and get the podcasts. And there's video, there's helping hands, there's all kinds of things on there that are worth going on there for. And I'd love for you to click on there and get on my email list, so that when I have specials or promotions or things that I would like for you to know about, that I will be able to let you know. So with all that being said, we're going to go right into this now. And we're on number 12, the law of empowerment. Henry Ford was not willing to empower his company's leaders or share credit and ideas with them. He was so stuck on the 1903 design Model T, he would not allow anyone to suggest improvements. A design team once surprised him with a prototype, and he proceeded to tear its doors off and destroy the car with his own hands. By the time he reluctantly introduced an upgrade Model A in 1931, he had lost his market position to others who had made huge technological innovations. As Henry became more eccentric, he promoted his son, Edsel. Without him, the Ford Motor Company never would have made it. But Edsel died prior to becoming the successor, so his son, Henry II, returned from the Navy to save the day. Facing all kinds of internal resistance from Henry's undermining, Henry II finally managed to gain control so the company could move forward. After 15 years of unprofitability, Henry II finally turned the company around. Until others were empowered, Henry Ford's company was headed for failure. Barriers to change cited in this chapter are desire for job security, resistance to change, and lack of self-worth. You have to believe in your leaders. The best results will appear when you lift others up, giving them credit. Find strong leaders and empower them, even if they are stronger than you. That's difficult for some people, but if you really want it to work, I'm finding this out now in my business. It's like I want to surround myself with people bigger and better than me to take some of the weight off me so that I can do other things. And isn't that what we should all be thinking about, is we want to help others. I tell my staff, equip our employees to be successful. And how you do that is by teaching them, encouraging them, and showing them how to do it better. All the time we are coaching, not walking alone, but walking with someone. So these barriers to change, whether it's in a marriage or it's you know, between relation, you know, anybody in relationships or in the business world. People are afraid of losing their job. If they teach somebody else their job, they're afraid that they won't have a job. If you get a computer that'll do this or that, then, oh my gosh, what are they going to do with me? I have that personally in my business. Instead of saying, wow, where else can I fit? You know, one of the things entrepreneurs do is they look for a need and they fill it. And that's what we should be doing for job security. The more you know, the more valuable you are. So if you're working for a company, look for opportunity to learn more, to be more, to do more. That 80-20 rule we talked about in the last show is what it's like in ministry too, is that 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And wouldn't it be nice if we could lessen the load of those that are doing so much and even out the scale? So job security, people don't want to change and they don't want to lose their jobs, so therefore they won't change because they don't want to lose their job. Resistance to change is some people just are very resistant to change. They might not even be happy with the way things are, but when you produce a change, they're going, I don't know, because they're insecure or they're uncomfortable. The other one is lack of self-worth. If somebody is not confident in themselves, if there's somebody that's not confident in their abilities, then they're going to be worried about change, and they'll be worried about their job, obviously. They probably should be worried about their job. And the way you can get out of that is by talking to yourself about who you are in Christ. And there is an I Am on my website, SueFreeze.com, that you can go on. And I had a person contact me and say that it has changed her life. And she shared that with me, and I always appreciate that. And she said, I did what you said. I read those every day for 30 days. And it truly transforms your brain. It transforms how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, just by reading those words and letting your brain and your soul hear your voice, hear your words, because your body hears your words better than if somebody else was talking to you. So you need to speak words, good words, affirmation of yourself, of who you are, so that you can be all you can be for yourself, but also, more importantly, for God. Number 13 is the law of reproduction. In an informal poll, the author gathered data from his conference attendees about what prompted them to become leaders. The results, 10% thought they were natural leaders, 5% became leaders in a crisis, and 85% credited another leader, mentor, for their inspiration. The point is, you can and need to reproduce your leadership in others. It takes a leader to raise up a leader. One of the finest NFL coaches of all time was Bill Walsh, coach of the three-time Super Bowl champion 49ers. Check out the great leaders who can be traced to the staff of Bill Walsh. Incredible. Not only were his own results fantastic, but the successes of many teams yet to come. There is a similar but longer of 30 Fortune 500 CEO winners who had once been on the staff at GE under Jack Welch. Names such as Harry Stonecipher of McDonnell Douglas Boeing. We teach what we know. We reproduce what we are. The only way you will be able to develop other leaders is to become a better leader yourself. You know, teachers, whether you're a teacher in a school or a teacher, you're teaching a Bible study. I've heard this so many times that when you're preparing for a Bible study or preparing for a lesson, you have to learn three times as much as your students are going to learn because you have to have all the answers. You have to be prepared with the answer. So if you want to learn the most about a subject matter, you'll be teaching it. And when you're teaching it, you're going to know the most. So that's what it's saying here, is that the only way you will be able to develop other leaders is to become a better leader yourself. So in order to be taught, in order to be a better leader, you have to be teachable, because you always have to be improving your game as a leader. So you have to go get taught, which means you have to be a student, so that you can teach other students. Isn't that interesting? You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking about the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And what I've said before is that we are all leaders because we are always influencing just by what we say, what we do, just who we are. So understand that if you don't think you're a leader, you really are. You might not know it, but you really are. And so these laws, irrefutable laws, they're for you. So no matter where you are in your life, these can be helpful for you and your future. The law of buy-in is number 14. Gandhi is a great example of leadership buy-in. In the years previous to Gandhi becoming the leader in India, the country was in turmoil and violence, rioting for independence from British rule. It was remarkable that he was able to sell his vision that nonviolence is the greatest force at the disposal of mankind. It is mightier than the mightiest weapon of destruction devised by the ingenuity of man. Even in the aftermath, Gandhi called the people to stand. It was crazy and unheard of, but the nation had come to buy in to Gandhi as a leader. So they bought into his vision as well. He influenced the people to burn their foreign-made clothing and only wear homespun garments. After a slow and painful but diligent nonviolent battle, India gained home rule in 1947. People buy into the leadership first, then the vision. Without leader credibility, the vision will die. I say this in the company that I work for at Ecola, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And that I'll take to the bank because it's so true. Even in sales, if you're in sales, one of the keys to sales is connecting, finding something in common with someone, the person that you're talking to. And when you do that, you build this relationship. And part of that is learning what their needs are. And so you have to ask those qualifying questions because everybody's needs are different. When you get down to the basics, our needs are the same. But there's other things that play. Somebody might be more concerned about the safety of their children. Someone's more concerned about their pets. Someone's more concerned about the house. Or they're only going to be living in their home for a couple of years, so therefore they're not as concerned about a long-term solution. So based on the questions you ask, you're going to determine what the needs are. And the more you care, the more you're going to be able to fulfill those obligations. So the buy-in is people buy into the leader first, then the vision. So the leader has to have credibility, meaning that, well, just exactly that. You have to have credibility. And the vision will die, meaning people won't go forward with you. Another thing I learned a long time ago is about a dream. Do you have a dream? If you have a dream, when things get tough, you lean on that dream. Is it a God dream or is it your dream? Because sometimes God will change your dream. Because it should be his dream. It's what he wants because he created you for a specific purpose. Are you living within that? Are you using your gifts that God gave you to fulfill that specific purpose that only you, maybe you're the only person that can fulfill the purpose that God created you for? Are you living in that? Are you doing that? If you don't know that purpose and you don't have that vision, you don't have that dream, it's very difficult to go forward on difficult times. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And if you're just tuning in, I just want you to know that if you've heard something that you really want to hear, but you want to hear more and you feel like you missed it, don't worry. It's okay. You can go to SueFree, spelt like fries.com, and go on there and get the podcast. And you also can get the podcast from the previous that go from one all the way through. So don't worry, you haven't missed out. You can still hear more. And this is really good information from John Maxwell. It's really good. You can tell that there's been a lot of research and a lot of time and effort put into this. Number 15 is the law of victory. Leaders find a way for their teams to win. Good leaders are winners. They don't accept defeat. They will use everything at their disposal to win. When they do lose, they examine their failures and use the learning to win next time. The book cites the contrast between President Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy during the Civil War. Lincoln surrounded himself with the greatest leaders and strategists in order to gain the most advantage. Davis failed to make ultimate victory his highest priority. He should have been thinking like a revolutionary, yet he was more of a bureaucrat and cared more about being right than winning a war. This impeded his ability to leverage the knowledge of his advisors for the best results. There is another great example in this chapter of Winston Churchill and FDR. They teamed together to deny Hitler his goal and would not allow the mindset to exist that compromise was an option. There is the example of Herb Kelleher, who fought the major airlines' legal attacks and monopolistic practices to crush him until finally, 11 years after launching, he was allowed to put his first fleet in the air. He was unwilling to give up. Herb Kelleher had no alternative plan except for to win. So the law of victory is to never, never, never give up. I wonder who said that. Never, never, never give up. And the law of victory also, what I got out of this was, is that don't let you be so into your ideas and whatnot, but let other good leaders, you know, let them take the ball, let them have it, but keep your focus on the goal. Have your focus on the goal to win the battle. The law of victory. Champions play to win. I have that all over my office. Champions play to win. Number 16, the law of Big Mo. What's Mo? Momentum. Momentum is the leader's best friend. Both positive and negative momentum are powerful in an organization. The book cites Stand and Deliver, the story of Jaime Escalante of Garfield High School. The school was a mess, and the leadership even encouraged gang pride as a way to placate students. Escalante was unable to do much until the leader was replaced. The new leader quickly set boundaries for students and disciplinary standards and stopped the negative momentum. The next fall, Escalante started with a small group in his calculus class. Of the 3,500 students at Garfield, he could only find 14 to enroll. He began preparing them for the college AP test in May. Over half the class dropped out for one reason or another, and by May, there were only five. Only two of them passed the exam. But Escalante was not stopped. He knew he needed to build positive momentum, and this was his start. The next year, eight took the test, six passed. Then 14, finally 18 students took the test, and amazingly, after being accused of cheating, was retested and passed 100% both times. By 1983, the number was 31, 85 in 1987, eventually 27% of all Mexican Americans in the U.S. passing the test were from Garfield High. Momentum is key. That's such a success story, isn't it? And it's true. Momentum is key. And when you start going, you can't give up. You just keep going and keep going and keep going, and the momentum builds. That's very encouraging. That's an encouraging story, and I'm going to remember that story. It's a very good story. Number 17, the law of priorities. Boy, this is tough. In business, everything is a priority. You got to get everything done, and you got to do it yesterday. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Same thing with at home. You know, it's just getting rid of the, you know, being organized and getting rid of the clutter. Prioritizing and getting rid of what you really don't need. I mean, if we walk around a room and we just say, you know what, I really want to clean this room up, you got to start somewhere. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, we got to eat this elephant. Well, how do you do that? One bite at a time, right? One bite at a time. It's a huge elephant, but one bite at a time. You have to have a goal. You have to understand what the goal is in order to set your priorities correctly. Leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment. Just being busy isn't enough. When John Maxwell's organization was located in San Diego, he had an assistant tally up the time he spent traveling in airports and discovered that he spent 27 days annually making connections. Oh, boy. So in order to use his time in better priority, he moved the organization headquarters to Atlanta, where Delta Airlines had its hub, and saved much of that time flying direct for him and his staff. Stephen Covey said, "A leader is the one who climbs the tallest tree, surveys the entire situation, and yells, 'Wrong jungle.'" Maxwell uses the 80-20 principle in everything he does. He spends 80% of his time with the top 10 staff members. The top 20% of your customers deliver 80% of your profits. 20% of your to-do list items will make 80% of the difference. The three R's are you ready? Write this down: requirement, return, and reward. If it isn't required that you do that duty, delegate it. Spend your time in activities that create the greatest return and delegate the rest. Things that you are passionate about that bring personal reward will energize you for your role. Jack Welch decided to make all of his businesses achieve number one or two in their markets, or they would be divested. At that time, GE was worth $4 billion, and the company value was $12 billion, with 350 divisions. They sold off enough poor performers to amount to $10 billion, invested $18 billion in the winners, and made $17 billion in acquisitions. Afterwards, their stock split 4 times and traded at $80 per share. It became the most valuable company in the world at a value of $250 billion. Any questions? Boy, that's a good one. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we are talking about the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. I hate to get involved in another number because we've got 18 through 21, and I don't think we're going to be able to make that. So I'm going to stop here on this and just say that, what are your priorities? Ask yourself what your goals are and set goals for both for a 10-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 2-year plan, a 1-year plan, and a monthly plan. Because that's the bite of the elephant. One bite at a time. You start with the big elephant. Let's say it's a 10-year plan. And then you, one bite at a time, you work on that. And there's diversions. There's always diversions. There's things that happen. But if you know clearly what your goal is and what you want to accomplish, you set yourself a timeline and you work backwards. I've learned this over the years too, is that goals, that's how you do it. You have a bullseye. You've got a target. And you know that you want to get the arrow in the bullseye and you want to be right in the bullseye. So it takes a lot of practice to make that happen usually, unless you're really lucky or you have very good hand-eye. I don't know. But you know the goal is to get that arrow into the middle of that target. So you practice a lot, and that takes time and whatnot, and that's your plan, and you work the plan. Any goal that you set, you need to set the goal and work backwards. And if you don't know where you are, it's hard to know where you're going to go, because in a map, if you're reading a map, navigation, what does it do? Okay, what's your destination? Your destination is this. Okay, that's your goal. Then it says, well, where are you? And then it can give you a plan on how to get there. But if you don't know where you're going and you don't know where you are, you're never going to get where you want to go. So it's really important that you navigate your life by setting goals. Write them down. Look at them. Keep focused. Keep that focused. And then prepare. Get prepared. Be prepared. And set your priorities. Don't get distracted so much that you can't stay on your eyes focused on the goal. So I hope this has been helpful. And I hope that you share what you've learned today and be a blessing to someone each and every day. Ask God to show you where you can serve. Be a servant for Him. You will reap the rewards. You will find the joy of the Lord. God bless you all. Until next week, have a blessed day.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.